Well, it's great to have everybody here this morning. If you're here with us for the first time, it's great that you're here in this house. You know, we're a house that's very alive, that loves Jesus. This house was founded on prayer back over 20 years ago in Rialto. And I'm just going to share with you a little bit about my story. I'll share the scripture as well that I was going to use this morning as well. And the scripture that I was going to use for the sermon was, it's in John 10. John 10. Yeah, I'll pick it up at John 10, 6. And this is what it says. It says, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And I love that scripture. And, you know, back about 18 years ago, probably a little bit longer, probably about 22 years ago, the first time I came to know the Lord was when I was a very broken woman. I had two children outside of wedlock. And I was in a relationship with Stephen that was sitting here in the front this morning. But back then, as I said, I was a very broken woman. You know, I was very depressed. I was very down on myself. Didn't really like myself. Hadn't got a lot of self-worth. And my relationship with Stephen at the time, it was very rocky. And at that time, he would have smoked drugs. And we lived together in a house. And, you know, we had two children. And there was something inside of me that didn't want my kids to grow up in that world. Didn't want them to grow up in that atmosphere. And I remember one of my aunties, and you probably know her, Ailish. And I remember she used to say to me, God has a plan for you, you know. And she was very radical, if you know Ailish. And, you know, and she would say to me, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, you know. And she invited me to come to, it was in Westland Row at the time, Victory at the time, you know. And I remember going in, Jackie would know, Jackie's probably downstairs. But I remember going in that morning and when I went in, they were all singing and dancing and clapping their hands. And I actually thought it was very foreign because they were waving their hands up in the air. And at the time I was like, who are they waving at? You know? Because I actually thought they were waving to somebody. But it was their expression of worship. And that was how they came in and they worshipped the Lord. But there was something in the music. There was something in the atmosphere in that church that gripped me. And when I was sitting there, all I did was cry. And the tears just kept coming and coming and coming. And I'm like, what the heck is going on with me, you know? So you're trying to dry the tears away and all that without anybody seeing, you know? But at the time, Ailish was up on the worship team. So she was giving it soft singing and all that, you know? But she could actually see me, you know, and she could see that God was moving in and through me, you know? And I remember that day, she got a woman to pray with me and she said, would you like to ask Jesus into your heart? So I said, yeah, sure, why not, you know? So I accepted Jesus into my heart there and then. And I can honestly say, I didn't feel any different at the time, you know? But when I left that place and through the week, the songs kept coming into my head. You know, and, you know, Jamie, you were singing, you know, This Is Our God. That would have been one of our anthems that we would have sang here for quite some time. But there were songs like that that would just keep playing in my head throughout the week. And it was the songs that gripped me. And it was the songs that made me feel there has to be a God. this God has to be real. He has to be a real God. So anyway, I decided to go back, and I went back again, so when I went back, I kind of got a little bit scared, if I'm going to be honest, you know. I was scared of kind of, you know, the people speaking in tongues, because they were speaking in this language that I just thought was foreign, you know. So I remember saying it to me Auntie Ailish, and I'm saying, what is that they're speaking in? What is that language that they're speaking in? And she was saying, you know, that's what the Holy Spirit does. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, he gives you the gift of tongues, you know. So don't be frightened by it, you know. So, and if you've heard tongues here this morning, don't be frightened by it, because it's a heavenly language, you know. It's your spirit communing with the Spirit of God. You know, so just skipping on ahead, I would pray for Stephen, my husband, and because I wanted a godly man, I wanted a godly husband to stand beside me in church. And that took a couple of years, you know. And I used to fight with God, and I used to say, why can't he be here, you know, with me? And, you know, why are you not changing him? You know, why are you taking so long to change him? And the Lord said to me, I'm changing you first. You know, and that's what happened. And God began to change me. He began to move in me. He began to take away a lot of the hurt, because I came from a family where my mother was a workaholic, and my father was a very heavy drinker and suffered with manic depression. So there was a lot of hurt in my life, and there was a lot of baggage, and there was a lot of stuff that I carried into my relationship with Stephen. And the Lord was saying, no, I want all of that stuff, you know. And in all of that, I allowed the Holy Spirit to change me and to transform me. And then, you know, this guy here began to see something different in me, you know, and he began to see the peace of God in me. And he began to, you know, question me about, you know, what is it that I'm involved in? He thought it was a cult, you know. And then I would go to my grandmother's prayer meeting every Tuesday. And I love going to that prayer meeting. And I don't know whether some of you might know Mary Ann. She was from Pear Street. You might have known her, Jackie, Mary Ann from Pear Street. And this woman was a character. And herself and my grandmother, they would have a competition about who could sing the loudest in the prayer meeting. And we sang all the old hymns and the old songs, you know. And I loved it for that. I loved coming together with that prayer group. And it was a place of safety. It was a place that I grew as a Christian. I grew as a person. And it was a place where I allowed the Lord to heal me. And skipping on then, you know, we would pray for Stephen. And we prayed a lot for him. And I remember Noel Kenny was in St. Mark's at the time. And I had heard about Noel Kenny. And I'd heard about, you know, how he had been transformed from smoke and drugs, and how God changed his life, and how God used him in the community. And I said, that's what I want, you know, for my husband. And I remember then going to St. Mark's and attending St. Mark's and being involved in St. Mark's then. And Noel began to pray for Stephen, and he had never met Stephen. And you know what? It was miraculous. Overnight, Stephen came to the Lord. And overnight, he was free from drugs. And that's the God that we serve. You know, it was about 11 months later, we got married. You know? And the faithfulness of God in our lives has just been blessing after blessing. Do we struggle? Yes, we do struggle. And that leads me into my sermon. And my sermon this morning is called The Pursuit of Happiness. And how many times have we said, I just want to be happy? I don't know how many times throughout my life I have said, I just want to be happy. Why is it so important that people just want to be happy? Have you ever wondered that? What is it within us that says, I just want to be happy? What is it that God has put in our makeup, in our DNA, that says, I want to be happy? You see, as people, we're filled with emotions, we're filled with interests, desires, passions, dreams. We possess these inside of us that we say we just want to be happy. Why can't miserable people be content? But you see, even miserable people want to be happy. You know, we can run in any direction. We can take on a new venture to find fulfillment, contentment, and even venture into areas that will not give us the answer to true happiness, that can lead us to sorrow. You know, a couple of years ago, Will Smith did a film called The Pursuit of Happiness. And if you haven't seen that film, can I tell you, it's a watch. Go and watch it. But in that film, this guy, Will Smith, he ends up, his marriage breaks down. He's a single father in the movie. He ends up with his son. They've no money. They're struggling to pay their bills. They get evicted from their apartment. They've nowhere to go. And then one day, Will Smith, he ends up then as an intern in a well-known brokerage firm. And finally, you think, this guy is getting a break. Finally, you think, now all his woes and his struggles are going to be answered. Only to discover when he goes into the brokerage firm that this internship doesn't pay any money. But what I love about Will Smith in this film, he refuses to give up the struggle. He refuses to give in to despair. And I wanted to show you this morning a video clip. As I said, we're having some difficulty. But in the video clip, as he's on his way for the interview for the internship, the night before, he ends up getting locked up. And he gets locked up in a prison cell for not paying parking fines. He was after being painting his apartment when the police knocked on the door. And when they took him and they arrested him, he was overnight in the prison. So the next day he goes then for the interview. And when he goes for the interview, he's in all these clothes that are covered in paint. And he's sitting before this board of like directors. And they're looking at him as if to say, you look like a hobo. You know, this guy is covered in paint. You know, if we're going for an interview, we dress up in a suit or we look smart. But Will Smith ends up going to that interview covered in paint and dressed like a homeless guy. And the board are asking him questions and they're more or less asking him, well, why should we give you this internship? You know, what have you got to offer? And Will Smith knew that it was make or break. He knew that they were looking at the outer. And he puts his hands up and he says, I have a question, he said. He said, if I don't know the answer to something, I'll guarantee you I will go and I will find the answer to the question. And this moved the board of directors. And they end up giving him the internship in the brokerage firm. And I want to ask us this morning, how do we measure happiness? Is it when we buy our first car, or perhaps when we make our first million, if you're lucky? Or when Manchester United win the league? No? Liverpool, okay. Or maybe if we're lucky today for Dublin to take home the Sam Maguire. Do we have any Mayo fans in the house? We do we? We'll stay quiet. We'll pray for them. But you know, some of these things can make us happy if they turn out well. And if they don't turn out well, we can become unhappy. But you see, events and values, they eventually fade away. The pursuit of happiness is possible. You see, God says that He wants us to be happy as people. But to live out this pursuit of happiness every day, it can only flow from a person whose life is actually rooted in God. Whose life is rooted in the values of God, in the word of God, and in the power of God. You see, the scriptures say, blessed are the pure in heart, they will see God, Matthew 5:8. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, Isaiah 12:3. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart, Psalm 37:4. You see, it's God's desire for everyone to walk with him, to pursue true happiness. But the scriptures also tell us there is no other way to happiness but through the fullness of Jesus Christ. And if you have your Bible with you, or your iPhone or smartphone, just turn with me to John 10:7-10. I read it earlier, but I'm going to read it again. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Another translation says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You see, Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. He's the way that we will find true happiness. And you know what? It sounds weird when I was putting this together. A person acting as a gate or a door. But that's just what Jesus said. I am the gate. I am the doorness of the sheep. You know, it can begin to stretch your imagination to think of a person acting as a gate or a door. But that's just what a shepherd does. He's devoted to the sheep. He looks after the sheep. He cares for the sheep. He keeps watch over the sheep. It also says in this passage of scripture, verse 3, he calls his own sheep by name, and the sheep know his voice. And you see, what the Lord is doing, he's gathering a flock of people. And that's what Jesus is doing here today, as we sit and as we listen to his word. But what did he mean by the doorness and his shepherdness? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the door. It's the only way to Jesus. It's the only way to access the Father. You see, all who came before him are thieves and robbers. And what he meant by that was there was false teachers and there was false prophets. But these false teachers and false prophets, they did not have the same commitment to love the sheep the way that Jesus did. You see, Jesus was not just doing a job when he came here. What Jesus did was he laid down his life for each and every one of us because he loves us. I am the door. If you believe in me and trust me to be the only path to God, you will find true happiness. And he promised two things in that portion of scripture. And the first thing was, you will be saved. And I looked that up. What does it mean to be saved? Because sometimes in the Christian world, it can be a cliche and, oh, I'm saved and all of that. But what it actually means is that he came and he rescued us. He rescued us. He snatched us from the pit of hell. That's what he did. He saved us from wolves and thieves that could come to kill and destroy. You see, God's word says we will be safe. We will be protected from every scheme of the enemy. Every scheme that he would try to set himself up against us. And the second promise in that scripture, and I love what it says. He says, you will go in and out and find pasture. As believers, there's more than just to being saved and being rescued. You see, the promise of God is that we will have a life that's overflowing, a deep life, a weighty life with substance in God, a joyful life. As believers, we don't just have to survive. Isn't that great? We don't just have to get through each day on scraps, but we get through each day knowing who our God is, having a life overflowing. He has set us up to win here this morning, folks. That's the God that we serve. That we can strive in every area, every single area of our life. We don't have to do this Christian life miserable. As I said earlier on, even miserable people want to be happy. And I bet you know some of those people. But you know, the word pursue means to go after. It means to take action, to find something or find someone. You see, happiness is possible. There's no other way to happiness but through pursuing the fullness of Jesus. It's part of God's plan for your life today. It's part of God's plan for you to be happy. You know, just talking about the sheep, they go in and they go out of the sheep pen. They go in and out for shelter. They go in for protection. But you know something, if the sheep stay in the sheep pen, they'll end up dying. Because you see, sheep were created for to gaze and to be set up on green pasture. They were set up for water. They were set up for so much more. And I think what Jesus was saying in verse 10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. He means that he came that he would save us. I came that they would come and find pasture. I came that they would have protection. I came that you would have plenty. That's what God says here this morning. That you would have plenty. I came that you would have safety. I came that you would have peace and abundance of joy. God's will is for us to have a basic understanding this morning to where to look for happiness, of where we will find it and where we will not go to find it. You know, I knew a man once that inherited his mother and father's home when they died, and he was left a substantial amount of money. And this man, he was happy for a time until he soon lost everything. And a few years later, this same man won the lottery. Imagine that. I know there's a few here this morning that would like to do the lottery. I think I would anyway. But you know something? This man believed he had found happiness again when he won the money, only to find himself homeless and penniless a year later. He put all his weight in the money, that he would find true happiness in that money. But in fact, that money only brought him misery. You see, we need to know where not to seek for happiness. It says in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. You see, happiness is not found in material pursuit. It's not found in exterior things. Happiness is not found in the pursuit of the next job promotion, the next relationship, the next pay rise, a perfect marriage. Your happiness will be changeable if it's based on these things. You see, happiness is so much more. Happiness is actually spiritual. Do we hear that this morning? And I know it's good to have nice things, but happiness is actually spiritual. And it's only by having God in your life daily will you find the pursuit to true happiness. I had to print this out really big because my eyes are gone. So forgive me. But you know, I read earlier on that that the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy. That's what he does. He's a destroyer of relationships. He's a destroyer of people. He's a destroyer of families. His job is to come to steal, to kill and destroy. We can have a lifestyle that leads to emptiness, that leads to disappointment, that leads to pain, that can lead to regret. Or we can have a lifestyle that leads to faith. And when we have a lifestyle that leads to faith, there's something within us that awakens. Your spirit begins to awaken to the things of God. You see, when you're awakened to the things of God, your life begins to bear fruit. And it's not just for yesterday's season. It's for today's season and tomorrow's season and next month's season. But we've got to decide. You see, the shepherd came to lead, to protect, and to feed the sheep. Do you know that he knows you by name here this morning? He knows every single hair on the top of your head, if you're looking to have hair. But you know, the sheep know his voice. And my question to you this morning, do you know his voice today? Or do you follow the voice of a stranger? You see, Jesus also warned us in this passage of scripture to be alert. To be alert. He was giving us a caution to the thieves and to the robbers in our lives. You see, sometimes we're not always aware. We're not always aware of them. And sometimes they can come and they can act in so many subtle ways to destroy our relationship with God. We can end up facing avenues that can lead not to a life, but to destruction. You see, thieves, they tend to be cunning and deceptive. A robber is more aggressive. You know, they'll hold you up at gunpoint and they'll force you to give over your valuables. Do you know thieves and robbers don't care about you? They only want to profit and gain off you. But you see, the shepherd is different. The shepherd knows you by name. The shepherd knows how many hairs you have on the top of your head. The shepherd knows your desires, your dreams, and your goals. The shepherd knows everything about you sitting here this morning. You know, we once had thieves break into our house when we were asleep, and they tried to steal our cars. And I remember saying to Adele O'Sullivan, many of you know her, I remember saying to her, we had uninvited guests come into our house last night. Well, she was in stitches when I said that, uninvited, you know, because that was a posh term for thieves. But you know, there's some here this morning that have uninvited stuff in your life. And I'm saying all that because this stuff has become rooted. It has become planted like a tree. And if you want to get rid of some of this stuff this morning, you've got to get rooted and planted in God. You've got to become rooted in the Word of God. You've got to become like the oak tree, that it doesn't move, that its roots go down deep. That's the pursuit of real happiness. You see, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. He's a robber of your time spent in prayer. He's a robber of your time spent in worship. He's a robber of your time spent with family. He's a robber of your ambitions, your dreams, and your goals. He's so subtle that he takes great delight in blinding us from knowing the real purpose of why we were born. I read a story once about an Eskimo. And you know, Eskimos have an interesting way of killing wolves. And what they do is they take a sharp knife and they dip the knife into seal fat. And they plant the knife in the snow with the blade sticking up. And you can just imagine this hungry wolf. He smells the seal fat. He actually loves the smell of seal fat. So what he does is he goes in pursuit of the knife. And when he finds the knife, he begins to lick it. And as soon as he begins to lick it, he begins to taste his own blood. But you see, the wolf loves the taste of blood. So he keeps going. And he keeps going. And he keeps licking the knife. Until he finally kills himself. You see, what this wolf thought was really living was actually killing him. And you know, I've been working with people for some time. And I've seen so many believers have a sense of God. But their lives are not daily rooted. When struggles come or distractions come, they are sifted out just like the wolf sifted out the seal fat. You see, the world offers many avenues of pleasures that will taste good, look good to the natural eye, but it really only gives a sense of false hope. When our lifestyle is rooted in God, we bear new fruit. In every season, when I ask people to share their testimony in WOW or up here on a Sunday morning, I'm asking them to tell us, what fruit is God doing now in your life? Not back 5 or 10 or 20 years ago, which is relevant, but what is God doing now in this season of your life? What fruit are you bearing in this season? See, when you are full of God and rooted in God, you have a new walk, a new swagger. Is that right, Phil? You have a new talk. You have a new fruit in your love, a new fruit in your prayer life, a new fruit in your worship. You have a new fruit in your forgiveness. You have a new fruit in your faith, in your peace. That is the pursuit of happiness. When our roots are in Him, no matter what we go through, we won't be shaken when we are rooted in God. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's the promise today. The abundant life that Jesus promises has nothing to do with collecting more stuff. Although we will be blessed when we are rooted in Him. You see, work can be a blessing when we're rooted in Him. When we are honest working, when we are people that work with integrity, relationships can be a blessing when we are rooted in Him. Giving of ourselves to others can be a blessing when we are rooted in Him. And having nice stuff, material things, can be a blessing when they are rooted in God. Family can be a blessing when it's rooted in God. You know, I can honestly say before you all here today, my home is filled with peace. It's filled with the blessings of God. We have 2 children. We have a 23-year-old and an 18-year-old. And our kids love our home so much that we can't actually get rid of them. Isn't that right? You know, they love being in our home. And people that come into our home, they say, there's such a sense of peace in this house. Do we have our moments? Yes, we do have our moments. But the presence of God is in our lives daily. We are rich. We are the rich of this world today. And we have a roof over our head, food on the table, clothes on our back, and running water. We are the rich. The abundant life is eternal. Abundant life is truth. So much, when you find it, you won't let Him go. When you find Him, you will not let Him go. This life is not free from sorrow, sickness, fantasy, where everything goes well and all things are sunshine and roses. But the abundant life looks like the return of the prodigal son when he came home to the father, and the father embraced him, and the father said to the other son, get the fattened calf and put it on. We're going to celebrate. There was an abundance of food in that household that night. Abundant life looked like Jesus feeding the 5,000 people, and 12 baskets full were left over That's abundant life. The pursuit of happiness. Have you really found the answer? And I'm going to ask John if he's there to put some worship on. What would you like me to sing, John? But I'm going to ask everybody to stand. Every head bowed. I'm just to give people some privacy and some space. Have you truly found the pursuit of happiness in your life? And between you and God, ask the Lord what areas is it that you need to put away here tonight? What stuff do you need to let go of today? I think for some here this morning, the pursuit of happiness is saying it's too late for me. And I tell you that God's timing is perfect. It's never too late in God. And there's people here this morning that I'm just sensing what you actually think is giving you pleasure is actually complicating your life. You've been invaded by uninvited guests. You've ventured down wrong avenues. And if this message has spoken to you this morning, we're going to play some worship. I'm going to open up the front. And if you want more of the abundant life of God to invade your life, I'm going to ask you to come. And between you and God, ask the Lord to invade your life with the abundance of his overflowing cup. He will overflow your cup. If you've been in a season of barrenness, of dryness, the Lord can just blow a wind on that and blow away the leaves. If you need your heart renewed again, come.